Isn't it nice having Mother Nature as an alarm clock? This morning at 4:30, wow, those thunder boomers were really, I didn't need an alarm clock because those woke me up, and I wrote about it on Facebook, and I'm not alone. I think half the town's probably feeling a little sleep deprived today, but it was great to get the rain. The air out there right now is so fresh and nice, and we're ready to do this. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ed Alexander is with us. Ed, I think, were you already up? No, that woke you up too. So, okay. All right. So you're in the club here. Yeah, a little droopy-eyed there. It is the 21st of October, 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream the show, and live streaming's wonderful. You don't need to be by a radio. If you're around a computer, you go to buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, and we've got the show there for you. And we make all the shows available on our podcasts. We've got all of our programs available, and you can listen on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin today with our, we're trying to do this interview maybe every other month, but more often than not, with Superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Dr. H.T. Sanchez. He's with me in studio. Then after Dr. Sanchez, it's kind of Education Week here on the show. It wasn't really my design to do it, but we had Diane Douglas at the top of the show yesterday. We have Dr. Sanchez today. Tomorrow, it's Dr. Hart, Ann Weaver Hart, the president of the U of A. And so anyway, at 12:30, David Safir, who blogs about education, will join us. He blogs about the, education at his the TucsonWeekly.com site. Okay, the live line number, 790-2040. Dr. Sanchez, always a good sport about he wants to hear from people. So if you have a comment, question, suggestion, please feel free to call us at 790-2040. Also, Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster. And now we're trying to do the Twitter thing. We're picking up more and more followers. I've had an account for years, just kind of reactivated it a couple of weeks ago. So the account is at Buckmaster Show. All right, taking care of some housekeeping items. Now let's welcome Dr. H.T. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well, and always enjoy the opportunity to visit with a Hall of Fame journalist. So looking forward to it.
Well, it was a great week last week, and so it's back down to earth this week, and just so honored to have that experience last week. Okay, a lot of activity, even at the meeting last night, expanding the grade levels being considered at five TUSD schools. So what is that all about?
Well, you know, Arizona has really prided itself on building a market-driven education system with open enrollment, you know, and charter schools and every other rendition of educational opportunity. And so what we did is we really changed the way TUSD has done things traditionally, as opposed to top down saying to schools, here's what we think you need to offer to your parents and to your children, your community. We've listened to our parents, we've listened to our communities. And so the five proposals are grassroots proposals coming from the schools, from the site councils and the principals to expand grade levels and to offer families who are happy at these schools more opportunity to stay and be part of those schools.
How will it work?
Well, basically, I'll take one for example, Borman on the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So Borman is currently a kindergarten through fifth grade school. They want to go to a K through eighth grade school. And so if the court approves and the board approves and the parents continue to be behind it, next year we would add sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And the year after that, seventh, and then ultimately eighth. And what that allows us to do is to take any extra revenue that's gained with our increase in average daily membership by more students attending the school, reinvested into the school to be able to provide more amenities, more space, and more resources.
And you mentioned, of course, the board would have to approve it, and you also said the courts, because this would require the desegregation folks to get involved, the lawsuit people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the desegregation classes, the Mendoza class, who is represented by the Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund out of Los Angeles, and then the Fisher class, which is represented by Mr. Ruben Salter here locally, as well as the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., the special master out of Baltimore, Maryland, and then the, of course, federal court. So we'd have to get alignment and agreement among most, and then ask the judge to rule on, you know, the strength of the proposal in retaining students and hoping to promote greater diversity within the district and on these school sites.
So you got Borman, Collier, Drachman, and Sabino, and I left out one.
Fruchtendler.
Okay. So they'll all would be a 1 year at a time grade level change.
Yes, sir. And with Collier and Fruchtendler, they're really looking at only adding sixth grade. And then Sabino High School is looking at adding a seventh and eighth grade aspect to their campus. They have a standalone wing that keeps students apart. But should any student want to take a high school level course and be prepared to, he or she would be able to take those classes if they're academically prepared for that. And so the other schools, Drachman and Borman, are really looking at K-8. So they're looking to expand to have a middle school function on their sites because of either in Borman's case or location. And in Drachman's case, it's a unique program with a Montessori bend. And Drachman was recently awarded the Blue Ribbon designation by the Department of Education. And so it's the only Tucson Blue Ribbon School acknowledged this year, which adds on to Sabino being another one of our Blue Ribbon schools. So we have two of them. We're very proud of them.
Dr. H.T. Sanchez with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's 1211-790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, one of your harshest critics, board member Dr. Mark Stegeman, putting out in his letter to supporters and correspondents, it's his kind of newsletter that he sends out, he was very critical of the board not taking action on posting school immunization rates. This was addressed, I understand, last night at the board meeting.
Yes, sir. You know, it's kind of an interesting deal because this item came up about a month ago and it was on an agenda, and Dr. Stegeman pulled the item off the agenda. And after he pulled it off the agenda, we listened to the call to the audience and the public. And so we posted a link on our TUSD1.org webpage that would allow any person or parent or interested party to click the link and see what the immunization rates are on any of our schools, which are very good. And, you know, we did that without a board action or a board direction. We thought, oh, it's an easy one to do. But the formal mechanism to being able to get a link onto a TUSD website, if the board wanted to take it outside of just asking the superintendent, Dr. Stegeman wanted a policy. So, you know, last night, after about 40 minutes of discussion and conversation and an open meeting, agreement was reached. And so we will have a permanent link on our enrollment webpage that has a link to all of that information that's updated by the state. So, you know, the exercise of the op-eds and all these other things are peripheral to the true process, because things get done in the board meeting and they get done when board members talk to each other. And then after they work through things, they can celebrate through the media. It's just a real interesting backwards approach to try to force folks' hands through not engaging the process. But, you know, to each his own.
And it was a unanimous vote last night.
Yes, sir. It was a 5-0 vote. So hey, it wasn't impossible.
5-0. All right. And the critics continue to really, they hammer you about the district's crooked and funny business going on there. What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, what's interesting is it's been the history of the district for people to ask the attorney general and auditor general to take a look at the district and investigate certain things. And in my time here, we've had three separate people or entities ask the attorney general to investigate the district. One for a consultant procurement, and we got notification back from the attorney general saying that they're closing it. They didn't find anything, move forward, and that we had done what we needed to. There was one with our infant and early learning centers, And again, that one's closed, and the Attorney General's office said, all right, well, here it is. We close it. Everything's fine. Move forward. And then the most recent was our membership as one of the fifth largest employers and the developer of the upcoming workforce, our membership with the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. We're also members of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And so it was called into question our affiliation. And
People were wondering, why would TUSD be members of a Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're top. We employ over 8,000 people, and we educate 49,000 potential employees in the Tucson market, in the Arizona market, and national market. So, I mean, come on. And so the Attorney General turned that one around and said, this isn't against the law. It's not unallowable. It's not unethical. So three requests for review by the Attorney General and three notices that came back to the district saying, there's nothing, you're fine, you're legal, move forward, keep doing good work. And so it is part of the dialogue that people have, and we just have to continue to do the kinds of things that show that these complaints are just that, complaints, but not valid.
And if somebody has a complaint, or if they have, if they would like to compliment what you're doing, tonight would be a good opportunity. You've got a town hall meeting, don't you, on education?
Yes, sir. You know, the Democratic caucus pulled together a wide range of speakers and thinkers tonight at Catalina High School from 7 to 8:30. And there'll be 12 legislators there present to answer questions and speak to school funding. And I think it's not lost on anybody that Arizona is last in the nation in school funding and per pupil expenditure. And so there'll be people there with their ears open listening. And I'm looking forward to the conversation on career and technical education that was slashed in the budget last year, in the governor's budget approved by the legislature. And it makes no sense to slash funding that puts kids on pathways to jobs that provide a livable income.
All right, we'll talk about teacher pay levels. And is TUSD in the red? We'll address those questions with Dr. H.T. Sanchez on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. But right now, let's take a break. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Dr. H.T. Sanchez, Superintendent, TUSD, with us, the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. Everybody's talking about low pay for teachers. There was a survey, Dr. Sanchez, that came out, study from Tucson Values Teachers. They released that teacher pay study last week, and yes, the Tucson area teachers are paid $9,000 on average less than their peers up in Phoenix. What can be done specifically in terms of an override for Tucson Unified School District teachers?
Yes, sir. So we were taking a – I took a look at the editorial, and I read through it, and there was
– The Star's editorial.
Yeah, the Star's editorial. And what was interesting is there was mention of a failed override in 2009 by Tucson Unified School District. What's interesting is it was characterized at TUSD is at the bottom of pay in Southern Arizona. If you look at the Arizona Auditor General Classroom Dollar Report for 2014 on the Auditor General's website, we're actually second in Southern Arizona. Marana has a teacher expenditure on the AG's side of $45,290. We're at $44,040. It's nothing to write home about. So, you know, to characterize the district as saying that we're at the bottom, we're not at the bottom, but we want to be better. So this past year, we've invested over $10 million in the last 2 years in two teacher pay raises. We didn't raise insurance rates for teachers, and we increased the pay for performance. We're at $1,500. So that's what we can do now. So what comes next? As part of our five-year strategic plan, we're taking a look at a bond, of course, to deal with facility issues. But soon thereafter, it's great to have great facilities, but you have to have great teachers that are compensated well. So we're looking at a override. And the override wouldn't be like the 2009 override, which was two superintendents before me. It wouldn't be like that override, which was just general. This override we would propose would be dollar per dollar for teacher pay raises and teacher salary and nothing else. It would be for their salaries and their professional development and their benefits, and that's it. It wouldn't go to administrative costs or buying buses or buying books. It would go to teacher salaries. And so we hope to be able to get that out very soon, working in conjunction with our teachers' union.
So an announcement on that could be imminent.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Sir.
The override, would it pass, do you think?
I think that Tucson, if it is dollar for dollar to teachers and their benefits and their professional development, I believe dollar for dollar it would in the community if it goes clearly to teachers. I believe it would. I believe that we have that kind of community.
So if it went specifically to teachers and not to administrators, because that's always kind of the
right
knock, that money doesn't get to the teachers. But if it was designated to the teachers, you think it would pass?
I believe it would. And I believe, you know, we would be able to produce, here's what it would look like on the salary schedule. And if you had this many years of experience, here's what it would provide for you in benefits and every other aspect of being a teacher.
One of the perceptions I keep hearing is that the Tucson Unified School District is financially hurting, that it's in the red. What is the latest? What's the status of the district?
You know, what's interesting is, you have to acknowledge that 3 years ago, the district closed schools and laid off hundreds of employees and furloughed administrators. That's a reality, and people, including some board members, are stuck on that reality. I remember last year the big hoopla was that we would today be in a $15 million deficit, when in fact we have over $17 million in cash on hand and a total of $32 million in our fund balance when we closed out the books. And all that information is on its way to the Auditor General for the Auditor General's review. It's posted on our TUSD1.org webpage. So the district is not in the red. We have not laid off people in the 2 years, going on the 3 years I've been here. We've done the salary increases. We've put 7.95 million into computers and technology onto our sites. And, this talk that the district is bankrupt is preposterous, because the books and the finances don't show that. In this prediction that some of my board members were stating, oh, they're going to be in a $15 million hole, and I have proof. All right, so today is the day, and it's not there. And you can verify it on the webpage. So it'd be great if the state would settle the 301 and pay that forward. But where we are right now, we're as stable as any other district.
We heard that there were some teacher vacancies. You're having to use substitutes in some of the schools. What is the status of that?
Sure. So 3 years ago when I came in, we had around 230 teacher vacancies. Right now we have 71 classroom teacher vacancies. We have about 30 at the elementary, 24 at the middle school, and 17 at the high school. And so it's not zero. We'd love to have zero teacher vacancies, but it's a heck of a lot better than 230 when I came in. And so we're moving in the right direction despite the tough environment. And I believe it's a collaboration with our teachers union, the Tucson Education Association, and then their advocacy for getting great people into the classroom and keeping great people in the district.
I had Diane Douglas on the show yesterday, and she was saying that I asked her about her relationship with you, the working relationship, and she said it's very professional.
Yes, sir. No, I've truly enjoyed working with Superintendent Douglas. She has a heart for kids. She stands up for them. I mean, when you look at her proposal to provide funding now for kids, and when you look at her proposal to scale back on all of the insane state testing, I mean, she's really listening to teachers and listening to educators. And so I have a lot of respect for her standing up and going against, the anti-public education sentiment. She, I think, is the first public school superintendent for Arizona in the last three that really wanted to run for the job because she loves kids.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly with the previous superintendents, there's been a rocky relationship, to put it mildly,
yes,
between TUSD and the state. But she at least indicated in our interview that she is really listening and willing to work with you all.
No, I've seen that. I mean, I've seen her very open and very receptive to multiple sides of issues and multiple sides of conversations, and very willing to work together, and I just can't tell you how refreshing that is.
Let's see if we can work a call in. Caller Dan would like to talk. He's, I think, concerned about teacher unions. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, I'm just concerned why they're even necessary. How much money does TUSD put into teachers' unions, and what exactly good do they do for us?
Okay.
Sure. So in terms of the district, we don't pay the teachers union. It's actually the teachers who sign up to be members of the union who pay membership dues to the union. And off the top of my head, I don't know what the membership dues are. But in terms of what good they do, we have over 3,000 teachers in the district. And it would be wonderful if teacher by teacher, I could talk to each one of them and understand what their ideas and perspectives are. What the teacher union allows us to do is they are a spokesperson and they are a representative for the teachers. So they're the conduit by which we get teacher perspective on curriculum initiatives, testing, and every other aspect. So if there's a good, positive relationship, they serve the public well. They've even been on recruiting trips with us and have helped recruit teachers. And anytime they can help us resolve issues before issues become so big that they dominate the conversation, I think we find ourselves in a good situation. So they do have value when it comes to really understanding policy decisions and financial decisions and even curricular decisions from a teacher's perspective.
And of course, it's up to every teacher to make that decision whether or not they want to join the teachers' union. It's not mandatory.
Right, right. It's we're a right to work state, mm-hmm. So we're not like other places where you have to join the union. It's an option here.
All right. H.T. Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez, thank you very much. You will be speaking tonight. There'll be quite a few lawmakers there. I know I spoke with State Senator Steve Farley last night. He's going to be on our show, one of our segments tomorrow. He's very excited about this event tonight.
Oh, I'm excited about it as well. I hope that we can get parents and community members out to hear what's going on with school funding and what our elected officials are proposing to do about it. It'll be a great event.
7 o'clock tonight, Catalina High School is the place. Thanks a lot, Dr. Sanchez. Have a great rest of the day and a good luck tonight with the event.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:37, and I guess it's kind of education week here, David Saphir, on the Buckmaster Show.
It has been something, hasn't it? You're all education all the time.
There you go. We had the Diane Douglas interview, kind of a rare event, talking to radio or TV.
Well, I'm glad she's starting to do that. And I was saying during the break to you, and I thought it was interesting. I was listening, obviously, to her educational agendas and liked a lot of them, but the English teacher in me was listening to her style and mm-hmm. her syntax and things like this, and I was very impressed with her communication skills. You asked her questions. She couldn't have known exactly what you're going to ask, and yet she was right on the button in terms mm-hmm. of answering your questions. Clear. It was a rather impressive interview from her standpoint. I like to see that.
David Saphir is with us. David writes about education, keeping with our theme, in the Tucson Weekly in the column known as The Range, which is kind of a, I guess, covers a range of activities, everything, and that's where that name comes from.
That's the name.
Yeah, and it's TucsonWeekly.com, and also you write a column for the Northwest Explorer.
Yes, I do.
And that comes out...
Well, there's the issue comes out today, and I never know if it's going to show up, but I wrote about gun issues, not education issues this time. So either this week or next week, I kind of took a slightly different take on it.
Okay. You know, getting back to the interview with Diane Douglas, I asked her about the relationship with Dr. H.T. Sanchez, who was just here in studio with us, because that is of interest to all of us, certainly in the media, after several superintendents who had a very rocky relationship with TUSD.
Right. The past two, Tom Horn and then John Hubenthal, yes, really were using TUSD for their own political ends and usually really beating on it hard, but Diane Douglas has decided not to do that from the very beginning. And she and Dr. Sanchez have been working on making the culturally relevant curriculum something that's valuable for the students. And he's kind of walking a fine line because she said during the interview with you that there were certain things about the old Mexican-American Studies program she didn't like. Mm-hmm. So they're walking a tightrope. But nonetheless, my indication from what she said and what he said is that they have a working relationship that's non-adversarial, and that's what you want.
Yeah, it seems to be a professional relationship. During the interview, I think you probably heard this driving over to the station today, that Dr. Sanchez says it looks like a bond issue will go before the voters in November 2016.
I did, and I hadn't heard about that before.
No, I had not heard this before. And then there would be an override that would be dedicated solely to teacher salaries. Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, that speaking of Diane Douglas, her idea is that the $400 million she wanted to generate with her increase in funding was supposed to go to teacher salaries and also to lowering class sizes and all kinds of other things like that. So that's dovetailing as well. You saw the article, and I'm sure other people did, about Tucson area salaries being abysmally low, mm-hmm, both mm-hmm. by national and by state standards. Mm-hmm. It's got to change.
Yeah, $9,000 on average below the Phoenix teachers.
Right. I was astounded when I saw
that. And speaking of teachers, this kind of came up with caller Dan had brought up teacher unions to Dr. Sanchez. And we've got a caller. Let's take Fernando right now, has a comment about teachers and union activity. Fernando, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, before I say what I'm going to say, I have to agree teachers need to be paid more. The only problem that I have with the unions is that unions, and my wife worked for a teacher's union many moons ago, they are very politically involved to the left. And a lot of the money, not just teacher's unions, but unions per se, donate like over 90% of the funding that they have to the left-leaning party. So what do you have to say about that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fernando.
It's an interesting question, and that's absolutely accurate. The Democrats get the majority of the funding from teachers' union, the vast majority. The Republican Party gets the vast majority of funding from corporate interests and Wall Street interests and things like that. So there is a balance there. I think that you can say that if Democrats are more interested in funding education, more interested in worker rights than Republicans, and I think that's probably objectively true, it makes sense that you want to get people who you agree with who are going to help further your agenda to help teachers, and I'm an old union man, help teachers, help students, that you would support the people who would best do that.
You were teaching in Oregon. Was that a right to work? Or is it a right to work?
No, it is not.
It is not.
It is not.
If you're a teacher, you have to be in the union.
Well, you don't have to be in the union, but if you're not in the union, you have to contribute anyway, but you don't contribute to their lobbying efforts. But in terms of the money that it takes to negotiate with the state and with the school districts, you contribute to that whether you're a member or not.
Okay, getting back to the bond, talking about a bond initiative for TUSD in November of 2016, I also asked him whether or not, asking Dr. Sanchez about this override for dedicated solely to teachers, mm-hmm. And he feels that if it was worded that way on the ballot, he thinks it would pass. Because, as you know, David, the big knock on whenever folks talk about giving more money to schools, they always say, well, most of it goes to administrators. Mm-hmm. So if it was dedicated solely to teachers, do you think it would pass?
Well, first of all, I seem to be the worst person to ask about prophecy when it comes to politics. I'm almost always wrong. I fear that if they do that, people will talk about the greedy teachers and we'll start hearing that. I don't know if that will pass. I hope it would. I hope it will appeal to people's better natures and realize that people who have 5, 6, 7, 8 years of college education, including their graduate work, often with masters, should not be making the same kind of money that you make with a high school diploma or maybe with 2 years of community college. They're professionals who work very, very, very hard in a very stressful environment to make things better for all of us. You know, they take care of our children when we're parents, and they're important. They deserve to be valued personally, and they deserve to be valued financially as well.
I can't remember so much emphasis on education in the media in so many years. Normally, it gets a lot of attention when budget cuts come up at the legislature. But before a legislative session, kind of a non-time frame of a legislative session, this is almost unprecedented.
I agree. Usually it's January to June or July or something like that. You hear that, and then there's a lull, and I find myself looking for things to write about because there's less. This time, there are too many things for me to deal with all of them. It's phenomenal. And I think one of the reasons, well, two reasons. One reason is there's that court order for $330 million that the legislature refuses to honor. And also, right now, when they do polls of people, one of the most important issues to them is education. And they're saying in larger and larger numbers, education is underfunded. Even Republican legislators are saying when they have town meetings, they're pulled aside and said, you've got to give more money to education. So if they're hearing it, it's a real issue, and the media picks up on issues that people are interested in.
There's that event tonight at 7 o'clock at Catalina High School,
right,
that town hall, but there's a couple of others that you wanted to call attention to.
Right, I do. The Catalina one at Catalina High School is really probably going to be worth going to. There's one that's not in this area. It's up in Scottsdale, actually, but Support Our Schools during or right before a fall league professional baseball game are going to have all kinds of kids and teachers and schools represented, public schools, to show some of the good stuff that's going on in education. And I think that's a wonderful idea because we hear in general, we hear things knocked, but we love our kids and we love a lot of the things they do. Sometimes the star does some wonderful stories just that touch me about what kids, a bunch of fifth graders who are putting together science projects for kindergartners and have to write persuasive essays to the principal to get permission to do it. I mean, this is education at its finest. So they're going to tout basically the successes in Arizona's public schools. And then Governor Ducey has a Classroom First Initiative Council that's been working for a while. It kind of tailed on what Governor Brewer was doing. And they're actually going to hold one of their meetings, kind of a traveling show, next Thursday, October 29th, over at the Duffy Community Center. So it might be interesting to see how these people are working.
All right. We're going to take a break. But before we do, I'm going to work Jim in, Jim Kelly, our friend, because I know Jim's got time is tight for him. He's making a call here during his lunch hour. Jim, go ahead real quickly.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Hi, Davis. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Jim.
You know, I think you and I are probably always going to disagree on certain structures within education. And one of the things that I think we have the opportunity to do is completely recreate how education is funded for the 21st century. I personally would like to see the district structure completely disappear as a secondary tax on property taxes for the county and things like that. And I'd like to see it generally funded to the student in a voucher. And I just think that that would work best. The state can take away from one and give to another now as it is. And the way I look at it is let's fund the student, and then that student's money is what pays the teacher. I just think that the whole 100-year-old, 120-year-old way that we fund schools and school districts are antiquated. I think they're inefficient, and I think they cost too much money. So I really would like to go to generally funded with a voucher to the child, and that way everybody's got skin in the game.
Okay.
The idea that is usually called is backpack, where you put the money in a kid's backpack and he carries with it with him to his school. It's not a wildly radical idea. The place it's radical is for private school vouchers. But right now, when a kid goes to a charter school or a public school in one district or another, that money goes either to the charter school or to the school district to be used at that school. And so it's not wildly radical there. I don't want to go into great detail. There's some problems with the idea, but it's an idea that's is being talked about and needs to be wrestled with. And I just can't go into a lot of details right now, Jim. I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's the Wednesday edition of Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
If you're ready to landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, paint it, plant it, drill it or grill it, better get to the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association Fall Home and Garden Show, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, with free TCC parking. Sponsored by Patio Pools and Spas, Kinetico, Mattress Firm, Tucson Electric Power, and Russet Heating and Air Conditioning. Discount admission coupons at SavaHomeShow.com. Sava's Fall Home and Garden Show. It's the best home show ever built.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. I'd like to introduce a few of my friends we do business with and people that I believe make the Tucson area a great place to live.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Don Pooley, former PGA Tour player.
John Fina, former Lancer, Wildcat, and Buffalo Bill.
Bob Logan, assistant dean at the U of A College of Science.
John Kaiser with VIP Mortgage.
Dane Wall, president of the YMCA.
John Lewis, president of Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst.
Joseph Blair, community leader and founder of Blair Trader Group.
Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance.
Wow, this is so great to have wonderful friends like you. You amaze me. This is fantastic.
Diana Cannon, tournament director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout.
Bert Williams with Williams & Associates.
Thanks, all. Arizona Party Rental, your celebration destination. Visit our beautiful showroom on Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event. For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, what a perfect time of year over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The autumn leaves are turning and have turned in many places in the Gila National Wilderness, which is a great place to do some hiking. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, a beautiful portion of the Southwest, kind of in that Southwest corner of the state of New Mexico, and there's many great places to stay. Just to name one, Pinos Altos Cabins, fine accommodations. You can check the whole listing of accommodations and great things and places to do at Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. David Safir is here from the Tucson Weekly. He blogs about education. Yesterday, David, you were blogging about this proposal to add some grades to five TUSD schools, something I addressed with the superintendent at the beginning of the hour.
Well, I think it's very possibly a good idea. And I say possibly because all kinds of ideas that sound good on paper don't work. And sometimes they work beyond your wildest dreams. But what's happening in that part of town? Most of the schools are in the part of town that is more Anglo than Hispanic and higher income than lower income, is people are bailing out and going to the Vail School District or to Basis or to Foothill School District. And the plan is to shore up those schools, to change where kids go to school in terms of moving more from one school to another. And middle school apparently is one of the problems with TUSD. So creating more attractive middle schools will tell the say to these parents, listen, these are your neighborhood schools. These are the close-in schools. Go to the TUSD schools. They're as good as anybody's or better. So that's the plan, as I understand it. And it sounds like a reasonable plan. I don't know enough of the insider baseball to know how feasible it is and how well it's going to work. But I kind of like the idea.
Your blog that is up today at TucsonWeekly.com talks about what might be a tipping point where we used to fund education above the national average, and then we took a turn where we didn't fund education enough.
I found a graph that was on the something put together by the W.P. Carey School of Economics up in ASU, and it showed how much money we spent per student compared to how much money is spent nationally per student, the average. And lo and behold, I found that in 1966, we were spending 10% more than the national average. Today, we're spending about 25% less. And I looked at that, and then I looked at who was in charge of Arizona during those years. And for the first time in 1966, right when the chart starts going down and we start spending less money compared to other states, was right when the Republicans took over the legislature. Now, I know this sounds partisan, but this is also a fact. And I think that the Republicans are less education friendly by a long shot than Democrats. And you can see the numbers going down and down and down and down until 1975. Then they go up a bit. And when they went up a bit was the first time since 66 that the House, either the Senate or the Representatives, I can't remember which, went to the Democrats, and there was a Democrat in the governor's office and the attorney general's office and the secretary of state's office, and then it went down again. And it's very, very interesting to look at the graph and also to look at who is running the show here. And an important thing, Bill, on this is a lot of people are saying, rightly, there was a big downturn in this state during the recession that started in 2009. Yeah. And so naturally, everybody's going to take a hit. Well, if this only happened then, it would be more forgivable. But it's been happening mainly in a downward direction, except for a few exceptions, from 1966 to the present, from 10% above the national average to 25% below the national
average. But folks will say you can throw money at it, but it's not going to improve education.
Yeah,
they point, and you know they point to the District of Columbia. I think they spend more on education than any other state.
They do. And, you know, you can throw money at kids' nutrition, right? And you can spend it poorly, and you can give them all kinds of junk food and things like that. But if a kid is undernourished, and I think that in Arizona, kids are educationally undernourished. I'm using an analogy here. If kids are undernourished, you've got to give them enough to give them good, wholesome, healthy nourishment, whether it's for the body physically, you know, with food, or for their minds in terms of education. We're not doing that. We're so far away from the point that we can waste money. It's just absurd. We have cut away anything that might be fat. We're down to blood, bone, and gristle, you know, there's nothing much there.
A couple of months ago, well, maybe it was last month, but a couple of months ago, I think you talked about, it would have had to have been a month ago, Diane Douglas's plan, maybe joining up with Democrats. And I actually addressed that in the interview yesterday, and she said, yeah, I'm talking to Democrats about more money for
education. She should be. As she should be. And, you know, Dr. Sanchez said about her that she has a good heart. And you know how many times I've said almost exactly that on this show, that I think she does. And I think she does have the best interests of students, of children in mind. Even if we disagree about what that is sometimes, that's her bottom line. And I really think, and it'll be interesting tonight at Catalina High School, not Foothills.
Not the Foothills.
If they talk about Diane Douglas's plan, which is the closest to the Democratic plan of the four plans there. So I think, you know, there could be a strange bedfellows kind of a coalition formed. I would hope so, because it's the only way we're going to get more money through. Because right now, some of the conservative Republicans are already putting problems, obstructions.
David Safir will look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Mike Shaw for Tucson at 4, coming up this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8. Chris and Joe, the Daily Double 8 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you Thursday, 12:04 with Ed Alexander. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.